Welcome to
House of Whimsical Terror.
I'm Esther.
I'm Mary.
And we're coming to you from Tucson, Arizona.
We're telling real stories of the fantastical.
All of our stories are true or told to us as true.
Occasionally we alter names to protect privacy.
And we do the same for places sometimes.
And today's story is The Haunted Casa del Sueño.
And we have our wonderful guest back, Ziva, who is going to tell us about her house, which is beautiful and magnificent. Mm-hmm. If you want to see little pieces of it, not the whole house, but little sections that we filmed, you can look at the reel that we sent out as a teaser.
Yeah, we'll be telling some stories about some of those items in it.
Yes, and more. So, yeah. Ziva, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
We're excited because we're on site.
Oh, well, I love this house, and I love telling people about this house. Beautiful. And so now I have a captive audience. You're sitting right here.
Yeah. Yes, and we're happy to be here. It's just, it's great to be in the place where the story takes place. So for us, it's such a treat.
Well, hopefully, you know, maybe something will let themselves be known while you're here. Certainly, the Victrola was playing earlier, and that does seem to rouse the house. Although the Victrola is not from the same era as the house, it's about 20 years older. But the house was built in 1936, and the house does seem to like the Victrola when it music when it plays.
It probably recognizes it.
Get some bumps and thumps that sometimes happen after I've had the Victrola going. So we'll see what happens.
Yes, I hope something happens.
I hope so too.
So should I just begin? I have always loved old houses. This is the oldest house I've ever lived in. And when my partner and I saw the house, I was so excited about all the features. And I very fortunately, the previous owners have not ripped out all the original features. They've saved a lot of them. There's beautiful hardwood floors with design. There's openings. There's Art Deco molding. There's the lilac tiled bathroom.
It's gorgeous.
I just think it's just so pretty. I can't imagine ever not having it there. I feel very fortunate that a lot of the features are still here at the house, and I think the house appreciates that too. There is an addition to the house that was built, I don't know, some 20 years or so ago before we've owned it for 10. It's a master bedroom addition, and it feels very different in that part of the house. It just, I don't think the two parts of the house know each other at all.
Right. That's a good description.
And most of the things that happen in the old part of the house. It could also be because I have asked spirits, entities, whatever you like to call them, to not visit me in the bedroom, because although I'm not afraid of them, I don't like to be surprised by them.
Right.
Which does bring me to maybe my first story.
Okay.
So a few years ago, because the addition is an addition, it has its own air conditioned heating unit. It's also was built. It could be rented out separately too, but it is connected to the house. But that AC unit had gone out in the middle of the Tucson summer, and we know how hot that is.
Oh yeah.
That's painful.
It is painful. But the AC in the front part of the house was working fine. So one night, my partner and I had gone to bed, and we had the doors, windows open, we had the fan on, but it was still miserably hot for me. I couldn't stand it. So I finally got up and I moved to the front bedroom, the blue room, which I think you took some video of.
Yeah, we got some video.
Beautiful, peaceful room. Everybody that sleeps in the room talks about how they get a good night's rest. It's just a peaceful room. And I get into bed and I kind of get situated and I'm laying on my right side and the door is behind me. And there's light coming in, low light coming in from a lamp in the living room. There's some low light coming in. And I hear my dog, Marlo, coming to join me, which isn't surprising. He usually likes to sleep curled up next to me. And he's kind of a big boy, about 70 pounds.
Yeah.
So I hear him clumping down the hallway with, you know, their hardwood floors, clippity, cloppity, clippity, cloppity, clippity. And it's getting closer and closer. And I hear him stop walking right at the edge, right behind me at the edge of the bed. And I brace for impact because I know he's going to jump.
And he's going to jump up on me.
So yeah, I'm bracing for him, his leap onto the bed. And it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen.
Huh.
It doesn't happen. And finally, I turn around to see what is he doing? What's he waiting for? And he's not sitting looking at me. He's sitting with his side to me, looking up at a man who is standing over my shoulder.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
And he's just sitting there. He's just sitting there quietly looking at this man. And I turn around and I see the man. Oh. And I exclaimed loudly. One might call it a scream.
Right.
But I exclaimed loudly.
Yes.
And he just faded away.
Whoa.
And the light was coming in from behind him. So really it was his silhouette. I couldn't see details of his face. It was just a silhouette. I honestly don't think that he was malevolent. He was just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he faded away, the dog, Marlo, jumped up on the bed and curled up and laid down. Well, I was awake at this point, and I'm, I am chewing everybody out, the ghost and the dog. I'm like, you, ghost, do not stand over me while I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. That is not okay. I do not appreciate it. And you, dog, apparently you know him, but you don't let him stand over me while I'm sleeping. This is a dog that barks.
Oh my gosh, that is a dog.
They were well acquainted.
But he seemed perfectly fine with this man. He was just sitting, just watching him, just looking up at him. So
so he knew him.
He seemed to be very comfortable that there was this man standing.
Had you lived here very long when this occurred?
We had, probably 5 years or so.
Oh, wow.
But he still was a little bit on guard. Like, he didn't get up on the bed with the man standing there.
He was just sitting there.
He didn't go to the man. He just stood there watching.
And watched him. Sitting. He was in a sitting position. Mm-hmm. He just sat down and looked up at him like, I don't know, he's waiting for a treat or something.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness.
So lots of activities. So many activities happen in this house on sometimes I just don't even register them much anymore. There's frequently things like we have a basement. The basement door unlocks and opens on its own. It'll be locked and closed. We'll be in and out, maybe doing yard work, and we pass by it, and all of a sudden it's unlocked and open, and my partner will say, or one of us will say to the other, did you go in the basement? Did you unlock it? Nope, didn't go in the basement. Mm.
And you're careful with that door because it is kind of a steep staircase. Lock it.
We have to keep it locked, absolutely, because it is. It's just straight down. Right. Once you open the door, just the stairs are steep, and it's just straight down. So we do keep it. We keep it locked for everybody's safety. I don't want the dogs falling down there either.
Right.
And there's some areas in the house that have more activity than others in the dining room. I do have an old buffet that my mother had purchased before she passed away at an antique store. And it had a card. The card is still in there. I don't think I ever took it out, but now there's plenty of other things in there. I think it's an 1880s era buffet.
It's gorgeous. We're looking at it right now.
Because we're sitting here.
We're sitting in the dining room.
Yes, and it has three mirrors. We talk about, every once in a while we'll talk about portals or, things that can come through. And I have this sort of eerie feeling about old mirrors, and those are gorgeous. They're beveled glass.
Yeah, they're very beautiful.
But there's frequently sounds over in this area that anytime it happens, anybody that's in the living room has heard it. The dogs will hear it. The dogs will be asleep while watching TV, and the sound happens, and they perk up and look. And if I'm in the right vantage point of the living room, I can see there's nobody here. There's nothing. There's not an animal that's passed by. There's nobody standing over there, but it definitely makes sounds.
I would be curious if it was a spirit that was attached to that
piece
of furniture, or it's your spirits that already were here.
Yeah, I didn't have this happen at the other two houses that this piece of furniture was at.
Interesting.
But it does happen here. So
it's a lively place.
It is a lively place. We hear things so frequently, we just don't. Most of the time, we just like, that's another one of those sounds we can't explain.
Wow.
I think you, in your video reel, took a video of a little instrument.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, my daughter had gotten it for my partner for Christmas one year, and it's just an artisan's, not just, it is an artisan's piece. It's a tin can that has been made into an instrument where you pluck the metal bars,
mm-hmm,
and a hammer hits a string and it makes music, and they're quite stiff. They yes. don't rattle.
They're not easy to move.
They're stiff. But there's been at least twice that I've been sitting in the living room. It's on a table beside me, and one of the strings just plucks. It just makes the noise.
Yikes. That's so remarkable.
The dogs aren't nearby it. My hand's not nearby it. I'm looking right at it, and it
yeah.
just...
Yeah.
There's really no way. It's just not touching anything, because we right. saw it.
And we showed it on the reel where you were... playing it.
Yeah.
It's very stiff.
It is
not
stiff.
Something that happens accidentally or through vibration or...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There wouldn't be a reason right. for that. It's right. very intentional.
And sometimes voices, sounds, more than once, I have been in the back room, the addition, and I've heard a man's voice, what I perceive coming from the living room, saying, "Hello."
Uh-huh. Mm.
And I usually think it's my partner, and then I, you know, yell back, "I'm back here," and it says, "Hello."
Hmm.
Oh my heavens, I'm here. Hello. Okay, and then I traipse. Not that the house is that big, for heaven's sakes. It's not like I have to schlep a long ways, but you know, I traipse down the hallway and into the house to come to the living room, and there's nobody here. You know, there's. I've heard. I sometimes sitting in the living room, I will hear diffused music, and I can't place it. I want to say it's like 50s radio, pop radio. Huh. Like I want something about it seems very 50s, like 50s rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
But I'll get up and I'll start like wandering through the house, trying to figure out where it's coming from. And as I start wandering down the hallway, I don't hear it anymore. It goes away.
Oh, but you come back, this old radio.
And I sit in the living room, mm-hmm, and I'll hear it. And it's like I can hear it through the walls, but I can't tell where it's coming from, exactly what it is. But as soon as I go look for it, it goes away. And we do have an old radio,
in the
40s era radio in the living room.
Can I ask the two of you something? Just a while ago, there was like a thumping on the table from underneath, and then another thump underneath. Did you do something?
I'm not touching the table.
I've had my hands on top of
it. Okay.
Yeah, like no part of
it. I tried to recreate it on my own, and there's right under my hand, it was like I can't even recreate. Yeah, like that.
Oh.
Did you either?
No, I haven't touched the table.
Okay.
It's probably just one of your residents.
Truly, things happen, like little things happen so often around here that we just don't even, we just don't register them much anymore. We just, that's what happens around here.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes cabinet doors just open up on their own, you know, walk out of the kitchen and everything's closed, walk back in and the cabinet door is open. And this house is really, it'll be really active for a time, and then it'll get kind of quiet for a while, and I don't know why that is, but, and then something stirs, and there's more activity again.
This was like the only house out here, right?
It was. I did go to the Historic Society, and they have a map of the neighborhood, and it's a more current map. I don't know what the year is, but it's more current maps, and all of the buildings shown have a date written on them of what year they were, each building was built. And the listing did say that this house was built in 1936, and that is what the map shows as well.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there wasn't anything nearby around it. This was not a neighborhood yet. It had just been subdivided. The next thing built was kitty corner across the street from us. There's a duplex that was built in the 40s.
So these folks were out here for...
They were out here. They were out here for a while. Yeah.
And there was nothing out here.
There was not much out here.
There are historical photos of these areas.
Oh, this was county. We were out of the city at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, El Conquistador Resort, where El Condal is now, was a hopping situation,
good.
And that's about a mile and a half away, I think.
There was this desert all around.
Yes.
And your house.
And my house, yes. There was, there's somewhere in the what would be the neighborhood now, I think a little, there was a post office, and there was some sort of little grocery store or dry goods kind of store. There's another building in the vicinity that allegedly was a house of ill repute. Mm. But nothing right around this house, and this house was on its own for a while before anything started to be built around it.
So, interesting.
Don't know who built it. That historic society did not have records of who built it. I found the name of the person that bought it in the 40s. It was built in 36. It was purchased by someone else in the 40s, but there was no deed. There was no transference that they had of the house.
It's really quite remarkable to me in that this home is obviously a fine home. This person, yes. Like you pointed out and recounted some of the, I mean, it had
central
heating.
Like way back when that wasn't really a
whoever thing. Lived here was prominent enough to be able to put some money into this home.
Right.
So you would think that they would have some record, and that's kind of creepy and fabulous.
It is. It is. Yes. I mean, I think there are some things that we don't think of as being as remarkable now, like the beautiful hardwood floors. There's detailing around the edges with the different covered wood.
Yeah.
The original, the fireplace, the tile surround is original. It's 1930s. The bathroom, the lilac bathroom, has a bathtub and a shower.
Which
was a luxury.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to spend that extra money back then. We don't think about it now.
Right. And so this probably, obviously this was a luxurious home at that time. Plus bringing in those materials to this area that was just desert.
Right.
I mean, whoever it was, obviously was someone that you would think would be like one of the shitty fathers people.
Right.
Like there would be. So I find that curious creepy as hell.
I do too. I do too. I've always had this feeling, and this is just my feeling, and I'm not here to convince anybody of anything. I'm okay if people don't believe. I don't usually tell these kinds of stories publicly. I tell these kinds of stories to individuals on occasion. Mm. But I've always felt like he built it for her.
Mm.
Ever since we moved into the house, I always felt like he built this house for her. I don't know who he is. I don't know who she is.
Which is that essence theme.
He built it. He built it for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I see we're about to be joined by someone else is coming.
Oh, okay. So you had a neighbor who had a story, someone who's lived here a while.
Yes, yes. We have a next-door neighbor who has bought her house 30 or more years ago. And so she knew the last two owners of this house before us, which, to my knowledge, there's only been four owners, whoever built it. I know who bought it in the 40s. They owned it until, I believe, the 90s. That person owned it until we bought it in 2015. So, to my knowledge, it's only had four owners. But the basement is a particularly creepy area. And I guess, I don't know, maybe everybody's basement's creepy, but it's certainly not a place you want to hang out. The stairs are steep, and I always am very, very careful going up and down the stairs because I just worry I'm going to slip and fall or something. Is going to enjoy watching me slip and fall. It's just not a comfortable feeling down there. But the water heater and part of the air conditioned units down there, and our Christmas decorations and luggage, that kind of stuff. So there are times when we have to venture down. It's always been an uncomfortable area when the door, as we talked about earlier, sometimes unlocks and opens on its own. that I'm wondering, who down there wants to make themselves known.
Yep.
But when I met my next door neighbor, one of the first things she said to me, she said, "You know you've got a ghost in your basement, right?"
Oh.
I said, "Well, yeah, actually."
So every scary ghost movie starts. Right.
Like,
a warning from some wise person along your
way. If we want to do a seance sometime, the basement's probably the place to do it. I want to conjure up something and see what happens.
I'll keep that in mind.
There's also a corner of the living room that is particularly haunted in weird ways. It has calmed down a lot since we've lived here, but when we first, for the first few years that we were here, if I would wander through, especially at night, and I'm kind of a cat, I'm up wandering around during the night, I'd walk into the living room and scan it to see who was sitting in the living room, because I always felt like somebody was in there. And my daughter and I were talking at one point, and she felt the same thing. And we both particularly feel that about this corner. And there's a recliner in the corner, but I had that recliner before we moved here. It didn't have a problem at the other house. There's just something about that corner that seems to be where a thing comes and goes. And it's not necessarily a comfortable thing.
That's interesting, because the other day was over and, you know, you had a gathering and there were people sitting on the couch next to where that recliner is, which is in that corner. And I didn't feel comfortable sitting in the recliner, even though there was no one around who had been sitting and no one had claimed it like a live person.
Right.
But I didn't feel like I was permitted to sit in it.
Yeah, that corner is definitely creepy. I don't fall asleep in that recliner anymore because I've had strange experiences. Mm. I was asleep one time and somebody grabbed my toes and like shook my foot to wake me up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't vicious or hard. It was just hard enough, like you shake somebody to wake them up. And I opened my eyes and there's nobody there. And
There's somebody.
I can see the person who was there. But that corner is definitely strange. And if I have fallen asleep, you know, laying there watching TV or something, had weird experiences in it. And so I will sit in it to watch TV occasionally, but I don't fall asleep in it anymore.
Yeah, smart.
It's not a comfortable, peaceful corner for that.
Right.
We also have a detached garage that was built around the time of the house, and we have turned it into a practice studio. And when I was painting it, I had the doors open. We, instead of a garage door, we have French doors on it, and I had them wide open because I was painting. And I kept seeing a man standing in front of it a few feet back. He had on slacks. I mean, I could see him enough to know he had on slacks and a collared shirt, and he had his hands in his pocket.
Oh.
And he was just standing there watching me. And every time I would look at him full on, I couldn't see him. But then I would see him out of the corner of my eyes. I'm painting, and I look full on, and he'd be gone.
Oh.
And I really felt like it was one of the previous owners just wondering what I was doing to his garage.
Right.
So I invited him in. I said, "Look, what we're turning the garage into a rehearsal space. I'm painting. Please just come in and take a look at what we're doing. We've actually made improvements to it. We've reinforced it in a lot of ways and added lighting, and, you know, we made it much better than it was, and that's, you know, we're taking care of it."
Right.
And then I didn't see him anymore after that.
Oh, good.
I think he just wanted to know what I was doing to his garage.
Yeah.
So
Apparently he approved.
I think that was one of the reasons why when we first moved in, there was so much activity. I think one or more of the spirits were restless about what we were going to do to this house.
Right?
And, you know, I spent time reassuring them that we were keeping all the original features and we were just going to make improvements to the house and, you know, painting here and there, but repairs here and there, but we weren't changing it fundamentally. And we appreciate it and enjoy it. So rarely is there something that's truly frightening. The man standing over me was frightening, but I really don't think he meant it as to be frightening. I just, he didn't feel like he was going to do harm.
Mm-hmm.
The only bad experience I've had is that corner over there, but just don't fall asleep in that chair.
Right.
That's terrifying. Yeah. Do not fall asleep in the chair.
Right? Mm.
Well, that was great. Ziva, thank you.
I'm so happy y'all came and let me talk about my cows.
I've been wanting you to for so long. So,
and come over sometime, but, you know, we'll see what goes bump.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I will take that invitation. Yeah.
So thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
And thank you for sharing your home and your stories. And thank you to our listeners. Please come back and listen to more stories and share them. But for now, so long, good friends, until next time when we meet back at the house.